Good evening, you guys. I'm K2 Romeo India Whiskey. My name is Vic. And this time we start the TicNet as we've done for lots of years since 1982. You probably have heard so often that the main purpose of the TicNet is education. We amateurs that are curious gather at this time and teach each other what we've learned. So the experience that ham radio operators get in their activity allows them to learn things that are quite often beyond what they can read in the books or quite often beyond what they would be told in educational classes on the subject of wireless equipment. So the amateurs teach each other. The TicNet starts at 8 o'clock, usually lasts until midnight, 4 hours, broken up into roughly 3 sections, not necessarily evenly broke up. It's a matter of, we go with the flow. It's a function of how much enthusiasm there is for each of the 3 sections. Let me drop. The first section is where people who have a question or a comment for the net sign in by giving their call letters and their name and the word yes, meaning you do have a question or a comment. You need not sign in just to say you're listening. After this many years, since 1982, we believe somebody is listening. That doesn't have to be proven anymore. So things can move a little bit smoothly, a little bit faster if we only check in the people who do have a question or a comment. Because so many guys got to get up so early because of the flea market today. I'm guessing lots of people are going to be sleeping, and so I think the number of sign-ins is going to be light. As such, I may get a chance to give you guys that very tough puzzle that I've been holding off on for the last few weeks. And these puzzles, the main purpose of the puzzles is to teach something. They're not trying to intimidate people. They're trying to really teach something that is not well covered in the normal classes and the normal textbooks. The second section of the TicNet is where Dr. Roy, AC2GS, gives us the mailbag and science talk. And by mailbag, I mean people who do have a question or comment but don't have a way of signing in because they don't have a ham license yet or don't have the right equipment. And by way of internet, email, snail mail, whatever, talk to Roy and give him their question, and that gets sent on to us. Let me drop. The third section of the TicNet is where Balt of US2N tells us what's going on with National Aeronautics and Space Administration and space in general. And lots of countries have a space agency very similar to our NASA. So he keeps us a track of what's going on in Japan and China and France and Germany and Australia and as well as the United States. Okay, at this time we're going to take check-ins. So if you do have a question or a comment, please give me your call letters and name right now. K2 Romeo India Whiskey, and we're listening.
That's who we are, Hank.
Okay, I heard Rich N2EO and I heard Hank. Is that N1YDY? Was that Hank?
Affirm.
Okay, we got Hank, Rich, anyone else to check into the TicNet? Please give me your call letters and name right now.
With a comment.
Okay, I heard somebody say with a comment, but before that was very noisy. Please give me your call letters and name again.
Do something with this antenna. Something came loose. So if it's not quality enough.
You said you're going to do something with the antenna, that something came loose. Was that Mr. OGB? Is that who that was? Go ahead.
It's Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu Rich. It's the boss. So what I'm saying is will make you guys work too hard to hear me. I'll just fix whatever's wrong and back next week.
Okay, Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu. Periodically we're hearing you very, very, very well, Rich. Okay, so far we have Rich number 1 and 2EO, Hank, YDY, and Bravo Zulu, Rich number 2. One last call. Anyone else to check in? Because you do have a question or a comment for the net. Give me a call letters right now and name. K2RIW listening.
82 OGB Craig, yes.
Okay, we finally did get Craig. I was guessing that's what I was hearing earlier. Okay, we got Craig. Anyone else, give me a call letter and name right now if you want to check into the TechNet.
WHYY show, yes, but put me in there at about 11 o'clock because in a little while I will not be able to transmit on high bands. It just open up a space at, like between 10:59 and 11 o'clock. How does that work for you?
That works for me, Joe. So, 9:50, 11 o'clock in that order. Okay, the first person who signed in was Rich, N2EO. Go right ahead, Rich, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Okay, fine, Dick, N2EO. Not a electronic question, but maybe you or Roy would know how animals think. They're smarter than we give them credit for because, you know, something happened here last week. Four times. When I always said a marshmallow or a cat, you love me? I just, something I say. And three times in a row, like, he meowed at me. As soon as I said it, he meowed. So I wasn't sure it was a coincidence or not. So I did it two more times in a row, and each time he meowed. And then this past Friday, same thing. I asked him, do you love me? And he meowed. So I'm just wondering how these animals pick things up and how they think. If anybody really understands. Back to that until we go.
There have been a number of reports of pets which can recognize 5, 10, 15 separate expressions of their master. So do they really understand the language? No, they know. They get positive feedback when the master says certain things and they respond in a particular way, and then they get rewarded by some means. So I think it's fairly normal for, if you've got a close relationship with a pet, that they will recognize some of your expressions. That's fairly normal. And yes, a very dumb animal wouldn't be able to do that. So it does represent a certain degree of intelligence. Okay, we better not stick on this subject because it makes people unhappy that it's a non-technical subject. Do you have anything else you want to discuss tonight, Rich? N2EO, K2RIW.
Oh, that's it, Dick. I'll cut it short and go on to whoever the next person was. It's just, you know, the smarter than we give them credit for. If you don't own a pet, you think they're all dumb. They're not. Not in the least. Anyway, go on to the next person, and I'll just listen until we help.
Yeah, and adopting a pet is a very desirable thing to do as far as people living longer and being a little bit happier. Because you can have a fairly disagreeable personality, and the animal will still show affection to you as long as you're feeding it. Whereas human beings might not treat you so well. Hank was the next person. N1YDY. Go right ahead, Hank. K2RIW listening.
Thanks, Dick, and hello. I'm interested in setting up an APRS tracker. I've got a GPS, an older one that has a serial out, and I just acquired a PK-88 TNC at the Hamfest, and I'm trying to put things together. I was wondering if there was anybody who had any experience with the PK-88. I've done an internet search for a couple of them since I got it, and I can't seem to find anything one way or the other as to A, if this TNC will work for that purpose as a standalone, or and B, if so, you know, how one would go about setting up the protocol. It's been a very long time since I played with Packet, and I really don't remember a lot about it.
Okay, I'm going to throw out that question to the group and hope somebody does have experience and responds. In the old day, Eric, KE2EJ, would have been the person that has quite a bit of experience in things like that. Also, I think it's Wednesday night, but I'm not sure, that on odd weekends, there is a computer net on this repeater, and so I'm pretty sure you'll get some answers there. But let's see if anybody knows about APRS, a tracker, and the RK-88, I think it is. If you have any information that can help Hank set up this equipment that he's recently acquired, Please give me your call letters right now. K2RIW in the TechNet. Yeah, PK80 is what I think you said. I shouldn't have said KK80. I can't even read my own writing. It's too bad we don't have somebody with that experience. One more call. PK88 and APRS setup. I know that Rich, KTUPS, has done some of that kind of work, but maybe he's not on tonight. Let's give a nice long wait and see if anybody with that capability to sign into us can give us any information on, let's call it the digital ham radio in general, K2RIW listening. Please give us your call letters right now.
And WS2N, an answer to the computer time the next time you could contact Ken.
Yeah, when is the computer net, Paul? Tell us, because I was just guessing it's Wednesday, and I might be wrong. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, no, not this Wednesday. It's the second and third Wednesday of every month, so he'll have to wait till November. I know this is a Wednesday, but this is, you know, this is the fifth Wednesday of this month. So sometime in November, that would be, what, the first... Let's see, the third Wednesday of November would be the next computer test.
I have an answer to Hank's question. N2EO.
Okay, let's see what experience you've got with that equipment, Rich. N2EO, go right ahead.
Okay, fine, Dick and Hank and everybody. They don't use a dedicated thing like the PK-88 packet controller I had one years ago. Today, everything is done in software. You don't use a dedicated unit. What you have to do is use something like a reblaster by West Mountain Radio, or there's another unit put out by a company called Tigertronics. They're just dumb interfaces that go to the radio, and when the other side goes to the computer. It gets programmed up with the, I know, the people who make the big blaster give you a disc. The disc allows you to set up the big blaster. It's put up by a company called West Mountain Radio. You may want to look them up. And all the protocol, whether it be APRS or anything, is done in software. I don't do APRS, but I do have packet. I have all the modes. I have a program called MixW, MIXW. It comes from the Ukraine. You have to pay for it. And I think the cost of that program was close to $100. They'll allow you to use it for free. To check it out, then it'll time out and tell you to purchase. I bought it many years ago. I get the upgrades. It's a great program. It is every digital mode under the sun. Back to that.
Thank you, Rich. There's a man who's got hands-on direct experience. You might have some further questions for him, Hank. N1YDY, go right ahead, Hank. KQLIW in the TechNet.
Yeah, very good. I wrote it down, and I will do some research on that. And when I'm done looking it up, I'll maybe give Rich a call. So thanks very much, N1YDY.
Yeah, there's a group of fairly smart ham radio operators in Connecticut who set up West Mountain Radio. And all of a sudden, I can't think of their call letters. But good group, and they've got some nice products. Next person on the list was Rich, Whiskey 2, Bravo Zulu. Go right ahead, Rich, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Whiskey 2, Bravo Zulu. Once again, my signal is going in and out and making it work. Wait till next week. I don't know what happened with this antenna, but I have to pull it apart and resolder things and do that stuff. First, Dick, let me ask you, is it okay, or should I wait till next week?
I think it may not be the antenna. It may be some wiring that you're, as you move around, you're making contact and not contact. That last transmission was 100%. So be careful of not moving too much, and go right ahead, Rich.
Okay, I will try to the Wax Museum. I've gotten very interested in SDR radio. The reason I've gotten very interested in SDR, because I finally found technology in my antenna space. As everybody probably knows by now, I live in a condo community where they are very strict with wires, and so it's been very difficult getting an antenna that works. And I still don't know why my loop doesn't work. But anyway, a patch antenna will work, and I am very interested in decoding satellite transmissions. I love that stuff. Let me let it drop.
You didn't have to let it drop that long. You're sounding pretty good, Rich. Go right ahead.
I always wondered that. When the auto announcement comes on, you just can key over that? You don't need to wait for that to end?
You should wait for the three beeps, or four beeps, if they're there. But anything else you can talk over top of, in my belief. Go ahead, Rich.
I didn't hear the three beeps. Anyway, I've been a scanner enthusiast for a very, very long time. And so SDR radio, just the receive end I'm talking about, not the transmit end. I'm not talking about flex machines or anything that could transmit. I'm just talking about getting into SDR radio on the receive side. Well, with the gentle nudging or sometimes gentle scolding of Dr. Roy when I don't do my homework before I ask a question, I've gotten up to speed on these receivers, which go from anywhere from $25 for these RTL-SDR dongles, all the way up to $800 for a radio, or even higher, $1,100, $1,200, for a receive-only standalone unit. Let me let it drop. So it's a heady experience to try to figure out what would be affordable and what is not. So, like an idiot, I usually do, I started off on the cheap end, and all that stuff went back. The $25, $39 dongles, forget about it. But a company called SDR Play, that's Sierra David Roger, SDR Play, first came out with an RSP-1, Roger Sierra Protocol 1. Sometimes I'm not good with my phonetics. And that was okay for when it came out, but now it's totally outdated. About a year ago, they came out with an RSP-1A, which is an amazing little box, for, I paid all with shipping and all, about $130. I've had it now for 2 weeks. I'll let it drop. And I've been nothing more than astounded and pleased. As you know, these things are, I would say, 75% software-driven. Roy could maybe correct me on that. So you have these kids, you know, these Potmark kids sitting around on GitHub, you know, staying up all night drinking Coca-Cola and eating pizza and coming up with this amazing free software. I'll get into that in a second. But before I do, let me just ask in general, is this a topic that you'd want me to go into further And are there any questions up until now? Whiskey 2, Bravo Zulu.
The best answer I can give to that is that when I went to a very advanced group of guys at a microwave update meeting that was held in Philadelphia a couple of years ago, and everybody was talking about software-defined radios. They had just acquired them at that time. And I asked this very erudite group, in their opinion, how much of ham radio in the next 5 years, what percentage of it will be using software-defined radio equipment? And almost everyone there said very close to 100% that it's what ham radio is becoming. So is it really ham radio? From their point of view, it definitely is. So it's an appropriate subject. So go right ahead and consider it then further if you want to, Rich. W2 Bravo Zulu, KQRIW.
W2BZ and the SetNet. Does anybody have any questions of the information that I've given so far?
United States Choice B, I'll let you do my email address and send me some literature on how to be interested in that. If you can take down my email address.
Please bring in to ham radio or just radio in general. And it's my belief that other than being able to watch, a wide spectrum, let's say the whole 2 meter band at once, and also multi receivers on your screen at once, so you could have the 2 meter band up, the 80 meter band up, the FM broadcast band up, all on the same monitor. And on and on and on. Remember, this is software, guys. I my position is, it's really not that much more beyond that, which is a big leap forward. But it's really sweetening, as we say in the broadcast business, for audio. Just cleaning up the audio is, I would say, the bulk of it. What it's doing, it's the signal acquisition. And then the cleaning up of the audio. DSP, digital signal processing, but either I didn't explain myself well enough, which is always the case with him, but it's not what I'm talking about. It's just being able to grab a signal and make it as acceptable as possible or as good as possible. That's what SDR is to me. The buttons, if you didn't have the spectrum and if you didn't have the waterfall, a regular conventional type of receiver, to me, would be just as good. If there's some way, which they're doing now, all radios now are going to be manufactured with the spectrum and the waterfall integrated on a screen. There's no doubt about that. Let me drop. Game changer piece of hardware with this whole subject is the ICOM 7300, which is 90% the old buttons, which we love, and knobs, which we all love so much. I think that's the thing we love more than anything else, or being able to be heard by a guy in Pago. The buttons and the knobs. Some of this software, they've gone over the top, and a lot of it is not needed, what they've included, to tell you the truth. I just found a piece of software which works with my SDR Play RSP-1A called SDR Console, which is a beautifully written piece of software. Easy to use and doesn't go over the top with stuff that's not needed. Let me let it drop a second.
A couple of transmissions ago, Rich, you doubled with a man who wants to give you his email address so that information can be sent back and forth. So when you get a chance, pick up your pencil and get ready to write, because somebody wants to give you his email address. Back to you for now, Rich. W2BZ, K2LIW.
My Sharpie marker, I know how exacting you engineers are, Dick. So I did not pick up a pencil. I have a Sharpie marker. You guys are training me very well. In my hand, ready to copy the email address. Mine, by the way, is W2BZRadio@gmail.com.
Okay, the person who wants to give their email address, please go right ahead. Start off with your call letters and name, and then give that information. K2RIW. Who is the person who wanted to give his email address to Rich, W2BZ? Who was that person five transmissions ago?
.com. @AOL.com. Copy.
Okay, I made the mistake of doubling with you. .com. We heard that much, but everything before that, I'm sorry. Give us all the information about your call letters, your name, and then the email address ending with .com. Go right ahead, sir.
Okay, Dick, it's my call letters, King Bravo 2, Alpha Golf Papa, John, Juliet Ocean Hotel November, @AOL.com. Copy?
Okay, John, Kilo Bravo 2, Alpha Golf Papa, John, and something something, .com, AOL.com. Give us that whole email address one more time, John.
Okay, King Bravo 2 Alpha Golf Papa John @AOL.com. Copy, Dick.
Okay, so it's your call letters, John @AOL.com. Is there a space or a hyphen before after your call letters and the word John, or is John run together right with the call letters? Back to you on that one, John.
Nope, no spacing. Just write it straight out. Four letters, name, @AOL.com. Small case.
Okay, John. I notice each time I pass it back to you, you wait until the machine drops. You don't have to do that. What you have to do is wait for the beep and then start talking. So, Kilo Bravo 2 Alpha Golf Papa, J-O-N-H-N, John, no space, @AOL.com. And let's see if that Sharpie pen got that. W2 Bravo Zulu. You need any repeats? K2RIW, you got it, Rich.
Sharpie pen transmitted from the ink held within it onto the paper without any noise at all. I'll let that not funny stuff drop now. Now, if Doc, I hope he hasn't thrown his Flex radio at a picture of my picture. Yet, one thing I do want to bring out, but I would need his help with it, is that the RSP-1A, the unit that I bought, is not direct sampling. And I might as well ask it on the TechNet. I was wondering, Royce, about Roy's opinion on how important that is. Can you, do you want to answer that, Dr. Roy? I know you can. Go ahead. Whiskey 2, Bravo Zulu.
AC2GS, you got it, Roy.
Okay, I like direct sampling because it gives you a much broader bandwidth to play with. The Flex goes from zero pretty much to 80 megahertz, and it plays a little game with knocking out the anti-alias filter so it can get up to 160 megahertz, which allows me to transmit tonight on 2 meters. So I tend to prefer that, and the newer technology is direct sampling as opposed to a intermediate IF stage that limits the bandwidth. So all things being equal, it's a nicer thing to have a broader bandwidth to play with in the digital domain.
Surprise, surprise, Roy knew the answer. Roy, my little box receives from 500 kilohertz to 2 gigahertz. So what am I missing? I know we're talking apples and oranges, I guess, right?
You guys might be mixing up carrier frequency with modulation rate frequency. Roy's going to clear that up for us. You got it, Roy.
Well, I'm not quite sure exactly how many what's the bandwidth of your radio simultaneously for simultaneous virtual receivers. It can't run all that if it's not doing some kind of IF selection, or at least that's what you kind of suggested.
Hey, the few words were cut off from your reply, so can you answer that again?
Okay, once again, I'm trying to figure out exactly, that is a nice wide bandwidth, which is all well and good, but I don't think it's simultaneous. I think what's happening is you're utilizing some kind of an IF intermediate, and you're doing it in specific segments, as opposed to in direct, you're going through the entire Nyquist sampling rate of the digital-to-analog converter, which is a different thing. So, like Dick suggested, we're sort of talking about different things.
Let me ask you this question, Roy. To put out a signal that goes over the air from an antenna, transmitting through the air to another antenna, there must be a real radio frequency carrier. It might be as low as 200 kc, it might be as high as 200 gigahertz, but there's a real frequency that gets transmitted. That allows you to know that a signal is there. But now you must modulate it in some kind of a way. On-off keying, that would be Morse code. Amplitude modulation, that could be voice or tones or frequency shift keying. You've got to modulate that carrier in some manner to then put information on the carrier. Just the presence of the carrier says, okay, there's a transmitter there, but that's not very much useful information. That's the equivalent of standing in front of a classroom and whistling a 1KC note continuously. The 1KC note, even to a blind student in that room, he'll know that a teacher is there, but that's the only piece of information being given. But if the professor in the front of the room is whistling on and off Morse code, now he's transmitting real information, if you know what I mean. So my main question right now is, of the software-defined radios you're familiar with, Roy, what is the usual method of modulation? Zero shift keying or double sideband suppressed carrier or there's a zillion kinds of, or direct sequence spread spectrum. What are some of the most popular methods of modulating that carrier in order to convey useful information? AC2GS, K2LIW in the TechNet?
Well, basically, it's whatever, as you mentioned, is popular. Just to give you an example, when my particular model radio was first sold, before I had it, it was capable of amplitude modulation, single sideband modulation, and continuous wave modulation, if you will. Right before I bought mine, they had a firmware update that increased the ability to do frequency modulation and to work repeaters like I'm doing now. A year or two later, they did D-Star, which I think is GSMX. It's a form of frequency shift keying modulation. The beauty of software-defined systems and what I was trying to get across to Rich was not only that its ability to do very nice adjustable audio filtration and with tight skirts that don't cause ringing, but all the modulations are not done by analog circuitry. They're done by computer algorithms. They take the I signal and the Q signal. They take the quadrature, and by manipulating those two signals, they can demodulate and modulate an audio envelope into any type of a modulation scheme that you can imagine. For every single modulation scheme, there's an algorithm to do it.
I'm going to add a few words to this one. Your system may advertise that It goes from nearly DC to light. It can take signals as low as 5 kilohertz and signals as high as 5 or 50 gigahertz. It doesn't do that all at once, which is sort of what Roy has been saying. Usually there's some particular frequency region that you're going to specialize. Maybe your favorite carrier frequency is 432 megahertz. So in theory, you're going to put a passband filter allowing 432 megahertz to come through and rejecting everything else. And that would give you a huge advantage, rejection of a lot of impulse noise and 60-cycle hums and other transmitters in the neighborhood and whatever. So almost all viable receivers have a frequency-defining bandwidth filter. It could be an RF filter. Most likely nowadays it is an IF filter. And if you synthesize, let me drop. If you create an IF filter with inductors and capacitors, that would be a two-pole filter, one L and one C, and if you add a whole lot more L's and C's properly designed, you could make a three-pole, a five-pole, a six-pole filter, and so on. As you add more poles with good design, the filter becomes sharper and sharper. In other words, eventually it develops a brick wall sidebands. In other words, the filter might be 10 KC wide, but at 11 KC width, it's rejecting everything by 60 dB. That would be a brick wall filter. Analog filters really can't do that. A digital signal processing filter can create something very close to brick wall without ringing and so on. So there's got to be a bandwidth-defining filter. So part of the digital signal processing there is defining the filter. Some more of the digital signal processing is now taking the signal that comes through that filter and look for its method of modulation. Sideband, FM, double sideband, suppressed carrier, amplitude modulation, CW, Morse code, or so on. So some more digital signal processing will take the filtered signal and look for the modulation on it in order to develop what some people call the audio or the baseband, but I'm going to call it the information, the real data that you want to get out of it, is another kind of digital signal processing. So maybe some of these words help a little bit, Rich. W2 Bravo Zulu, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Yes, somebody else was in there, but let me just ask Roy this. Are you saying then that direct sampling does not improve the signal to noise ratio or the selectivity? Go ahead.
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, what you're doing is you're introducing another electronic circuit stage, which is going to introduce some degree of nonlinearity and noise. So the less intermediaries, probably the better a device can be made.
Whenever we talk about signal-to-noise ratio, 99% of the time, if you want to increase signal-to-noise ratio, you're going to be using an optimum filter, a filter with some kind of a bandwidth. Usually it's a frequency-determining bandwidth filter, where if all your information is at 432 megahertz plus or minus 10 kilohertz, so you make a 20 kilohertz wide filter, centered at 432, and it rejects all of those other frequencies, 144 megs and 50 megs and 2,000 megs. It rejects all of those other things which essentially could contain noise. So 99% of the time, you want to increase signal-to-noise ratio, you're using a more optimized filter for that particular signal. I said 99% of the time because there is something a little bit fancier that takes place with direct sequence modulation techniques, and let's not go there if we don't have to. So in general, signal-to-noise ratio is filtering. I mean, the thing that you and I call signal, you and I know what it sounds like. You and I know what noise sounds like. You can teach a human being what is signal and what is noise. To teach a computer or a circuit what is signal or what is noise, to that signal, to that computer, everything in the world is a sine wave or a spiky sine wave, if you know what I mean. The only way you can define signal is that which passes through a filter, because there's no other way to a dumb machine, it's not a human being, you can differentiate between signal and noise and optimize the signal and reject the noise. It's almost always done with filtering. W2 Bravo Zulu, K2LIW, and the TechNet, and there's better and better filters in this world.
the great advantages of SDR, because you could change the filtering either by clicking, clicking on the different, you know, bandwidth, or the software makes this easy, some of it not so easy. It'll all be fantastically easy in the future, but or you can put your cursor over horizontal lines that are indicating what frequency you're on, and you could slide the outermost line and the on the right or the left, you could slide it and change the width, the bandwidth, doing it like that, or just click on, you know, 2.4. So that's the filtering is pretty amazing. There was one last question that I had for Roy, and that was what? Can any radio like I have be made a direct sampler or use direct sampler with the box that I have, that's a better way to say it, just by adding or modifying routines in the code? Roy, go ahead.
Well, I mean, theoretically, it could be a direct conversion, but not at the frequency range, the bandwidth that you like to mention for this device. The point is, one of the limiting aspects of a software-defined radio is the inherent quality of the digital-to-analog converter. The more bits of resolution, the better, but also the sampling rate is incredibly important. If you don't have a fast enough sampling rate to take a large bandwidth, the trick that can be played is to up and down and sideways convert your signal into smaller ranges of bandwidths that the lower quality digital analog converter can assimilate and process the information from. So if you wanted to have a smaller reception bandwidth, theoretically you can turn it into a direct conversion. The problem is that you'll lose a lot of the bandwidth that you like to have.
Rich, I want you to do an experiment for me. I'm assuming you're holding on to a microphone or you're touching a microphone. I'd like you to do some counting into that microphone while wiggling the cord right at the base of the microphone. That's experiment number one. Experiment number two, you're going to wiggle the cord just as the cord enters the front panel of the radio. And experiment number three, you're going to grab the middle of the cord and shake it up and down. But while you're doing the counting, you're going to tell us what you're doing. One, two, three, four, I am wiggling the cord at the base of the microphone right now. Four, five, six, I'm wiggling the cord as it goes into the front end of the radio right now. So please do that experiment, because I think there's a chance you've simply got an intermittent wire on the microphone. Please do that experiment for us right now, Rich. W2 Bravo Zulu, K2RIW.
Okay, we'll do. This is a coiled cord going into a little Kenwood, Yaesu 60R, FT60R. Okay, so now I am wiggling the cord at the base of the microphone. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now I am wiggling the cord in the middle of the cord, the middle between the microphone and the radio. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now I'm wiggling the plug that goes into the radio, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Everything seemed pretty good until you grabbed the cord as it enters the front of the radio. You did have one dropout there. So there is a chance that the cord as it enters the front end of the radio could be a flaky connection. And that's where a lot of flexure of the cord takes place. Therefore, it could have a intermittent in there, Rich. So it's not easy. I mean, if you have the ability to chop off the last 3 inches of the cord as it enters the radio and remount the connectors, That would be a good thing to do. Unfortunately, nowadays, those connectors inside are funny crimp connectors, and the individual wires are conductive pieces of cloth, and that's very, and you can't resolder it, if you know what I mean. They're not ordinary soldered wires. You may have to buy another microphone. W2 Bravo Zulu, K2RIW.
Well, I can't do what you said, because now I unplugged the microphone, and I am, hold my thumb, is holding the transmit button on the radio. Microphone is now out of the picture. I wonder if that has taken care of the problem, Dick.
That was a 100% transmission, no interruption of any kind. So that one sounded good. You got to be careful, though. You know the way intermittents act. when you want to show the intermittent, it won't do it. For the time being, you've got a confirmation, if you know what I mean. Over to you, Rich.
Y2H.
Go ahead, Lou.
Rich, are you using an HT?
USL on the HT.
I think it might be getting RF into the mic cord.
Over the months that I've been checking into the TechNet, I have found it's very critical. Just found it very critical that I hold this at a range of distance between my mouth. Seems to overmodulate if I move it, let's say, 2 inches from my mouth. And get too weak if I hold it more than 4 or 5 inches. Very critical distance-wise. How are we sounding now?
Quite poor. You dropped out 3 or 4 times that time. It's not because of being too close to the microphone. You are not over-modulating or under-modulating. Your carrier was completely dropping out. You were not transmitting 3 or 4 times for 1 second at a time during that last transmission. So RF getting into the microphone is a possibility. Intermittent contacts on the microphone. There's something funny going on with that microphone. It's not too much audio. There's some kind of mechanical vulnerability of that microphone and its cord. Is there any other microphone that will work on that radio you could plug in as a substitute? To do a substitution right now would be a very valuable test. If you had another microphone that's compatible with that rig. Do you have one now, Rich, and W2 Bravo Zulu, K2RIW?
Unfortunately, I don't have another microphone I could plug in. Lou asked, I caught the last part of his question. Lou asked if I'm still using the rig without the microphone, and yes, the microphone is not plugged in. One thing I would like to try is go to mid power rather than high power and see if that changes everything. Can I do that?
Yeah, that's worth a try. But you said if the microphone is not plugged in, does that mean you're not using an external mic? You're using the mic that's on the front end of the radio itself? Is that what you're saying, Rich? Go ahead.
Yes, I'm using the internal microphone to the radio. It'll push to talk with the coiled cord I'm not using. And now I did change it to mid-power, and I wonder if that took care of any of the dropouts.
Your signal is a little bit noisy. There was no dropout. Go back to high power. Now that you're using the internal mic, is the handy talkie mounted on something that's not allowing it to move, or are you holding on to that handy talkie? Back to you, Rich.
Right now I am holding on to the handy talkie, but I could mount it on something. It would take me 15 seconds where I don't have to touch it.
The RF cable coming out of the back of the handy talkie, or the top of the handy talkie, try wiggling that cable coming out of the handy talkie while you're talking to us. And by the way, are you running on an external power supply or the internal battery? Over to you, Rich.
Our supply, and you know the adapter, there's RG58U, the adapter, the size adapter for the PL259, that may be problematic. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn that
counterclockwise and then clockwise. And you could tell me if the dropouts are noticeably more frequent. So I'm gonna turn it clockwise now, and it give you 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay, that's about as much as I can turn it. I'm going to turn it in now. I'm going to turn it clockwise. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
We heard everything was great up till 5, 4, 3, and then there was a dropout when you were turning it clockwise. So there could be something funny going on with that BNC to whatever it is, adapter. So the cable coming out of the back of the rig could be suspect. I do remember taking apart a handy talkie once, and I found out that the wire from the center conductor of the chassis connector, that wire goes down to a printed circuit board, and that wire was flaky. It was a piece of bus bar, half an inch long or a quarter of an inch long, which was making poor contact to the printed circuit board. So it could be something internal. Alrighty. I don't think it's power sensitive. I think it's some kind of physical motion sensitive of some particular component that's doing it. Over to you, Rich, W2BZ, K2RIW.
K2BZ, K2RIW, W2BZ, and the TechNet. Let me just clip something on here. Okay, now I'm going to plug the external microphone back in, but I don't have to touch the rig. Okay, so now, excuse me, my voice. Now I am not touching the radio at all, and I'm using the external microphone. I got sound, and then I have just a closing comment on the FDR radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, that external microphone right now is giving you a steady signal. Slightly mushier audio. The highs are not as good as the mic that's on the radio itself. But right now you're holding steady. W2BZ, K2RIW.
Well, okay. Let's see if this final transmission of mine, if there are no dropouts. I was also wondering, does it sound like the top of the type of dropouts that Roy was suffering up until about 6 months ago, I guess? Go ahead, Dick.
It's hard to compare your blackouts to Roy's blackout. Roy was not dropping carrier, he was dropping audio. You sound like you're dropping carrier. In other words, the machine goes into giving us a beep when you drop out. So they might not be the same. They may sound the same, but they act a little bit different. Okay, got any further SDR questions or comments? Give them right now, Rich. BZ, RIW.
Okay, if I am correct, if I didn't just misread this in the manual for this SDR console software, I can actually, over the internet, log into somebody else's server that has an SDR server up and running, and with the software that I'm using just to receive, I can actually receive and transmit through another station's server, SDR server, by connecting it through, you know, the correct port and all that. And I think I read it correctly, and if I did, that's just mind-boggling if you think about it. Because let's say I didn't know about that. Let's say I didn't read it, and I still may have misread it. But let's say I didn't read it. I'm just using this beautiful piece of software to receive signals from 500K to 2 gigahertz. Whoops, that's a whole other thing. Chris, stand by a second. Hold on a second. If that can be done, that the software that I am using can now facilitate me being able to turn a receive-only SDR box into a box that can transmit with the help of another server. I mean, just think about that. That's mind-boggling to me. All right, Dick, that's about it on my SDR experience so far. I'll report back from time to time. Roy, thanks for putting up with some of the questions. I really do appreciate it. I could tell the frustration in your voice when I'm not getting a concept. That's okay. I would have shot myself if you were I and I were you. Okay. Back to you, Dick. Whiskey 2, Bravo Zulu.
Jax, I want to comment.
Okay. I want Roy to make some further comments, but GXM first. Go ahead, GXM.
K-Tri-W in the group, WB2GXM. The SDR Duo and RSP-1 receivers are made by SDR Play in Britain. You can find all sorts of information and literature on their website at www.sdrplay.com. SDRPLAY.com. WB2GXM.
Okay, thank you, GXM. Roy, do you have any further comments on what Rich has been saying? AC2GS, K2LIW.
Well, Dick, I'm glad that Rich is enjoying his software-defined radio experience. As you mentioned earlier, I think it's the future of radio technology in general, which includes us amateurs. I mean, people will still be playing with their Collinses and their Drakes no matter what. But still, I think the technology is going straight into the field of software-defined radios. And as far as remotely operating radios, as much as I'm glad he's enjoying the experience, when I first got my license, I was able to use EchoLink to control and transmit a transmitter in Minnesota. So those things kind of predate. Sometimes people also, not that Rich is doing it, but some people sometimes get software controlled radios confused with software defined radios. So once they kind of built those RS-232 ports that took CIV commands in them, and the rig expert and the other rig runner and such that did soundboard computer interfacing with the input and output of radios, you were able to remotely control and operate external radios. That's very nice, but it's been around at least for about 9-10 years in the general public.
82 LWH.
LWH, go right ahead.
Just at the short meeting, Wayne didn't want to wait another 9 minutes for a future mission.
Understand. Okay, I thank you, Roy. I'm going to go over to the next person that signed in, the last person, which was Craig. Hello, Delta 2, Old Gray, OGB, Old Gray Beard. Oscar Golf Bravo, KD2OGB, go right ahead, Craig, K2RIW.
K2OGB, at this point, my friends really started something with using the last three letters like that. Anyway, so, at first I wasn't going to sign in, but now I got something on my mind. Me and a few others spoke about this topic recently, and I figured I'd like to see if anybody has ever had experiences with this. On the day I've had my mobile set up to this day, has anybody ever had, let's see here. Usually there are, specific laws regarding electronic devices and such, but has anybody ever ran into problems when it comes to operating ham radios while mobile?
Are you talking about law enforcement now? In other words, operating ham radio while mobile, and a policeman sees you because he's either standing on the side looking for that or he's driving alongside of you. Is it the law enforcement problems? Is that what you mean by problem? Because the word problem while driving, I can think of all kinds of ways the antenna could give you trouble while driving. Over to you, Craig.
I would imagine it is rare, but sometimes it does happen, and it's usually up to, it's discretionary for them and what a judge would say, but has anybody ever had problems before, or has ever been asked exactly what they have in their car?
I'm going to pass it over to the group in a minute, but I have heard reports in the past that in the five boroughs of New York City, even though there have been laws written by ARRL or FCC saying that ham radio is given dispensation, I mean, you're not allowed to be using a cell phone in your hand while driving. However, ham radio operators are allowed to have a microphone in their hand.